It's from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 15 to chapter 4, verse 3. So if you've got a Bible at home and you want to open up the passage, Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life.
Well, good morning, and thank you very much indeed for reading for us, Luke. We're very much hoping this week will bring some good news that we're able to open a part, if not all, of December, and we've got plenty of events planned for the December season. So please do keep your eye on the news, because all of the details will be in there over the coming couple of weeks, including on Saturday the 5th. Our desire to go out and to deliver around the local neighbourhood and let people know what's happening. And we are also looking for a small team of people who will be able to help us make this building a little bit more festive in preparation for that time. So if you're able to help, please do be in touch with me soon. Thank you. Let's pray as we look at this text this morning. Do keep open Philippians 3 in front of you. The Apostle Paul wrote, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Father, please help me to testify to that good news of your grace this morning, and please help us all to make it our aim to finish the Christian race. In Jesus' name, amen. Now this morning we're going to get a marathon masterclass, and I know that some of you hate running, but we're going to do it anyway. And the reason is because the Christian race is a marathon. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Paul has just been using the imagery of a race to describe the Christian life. And what I particularly want to talk about this morning is the mental aspect of running this marathon, of where you keep your eyes, if you like. Because once we've begun the race and towed the line and the gun's gone off and we've headed out and we've hit around about halfway, the race gets tough, and it's hard to maintain the pace. And some of us have slowed down, or at least want to slow down the pace. And that's where the mental aspect of it all is so important. What goes on up here, what we think, what we fix our eyes upon, what our mindset is, well, that's actually crucial to enable us to maintain the pace or even to pick up the pace if we've dropped along the wayside. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Paula Radcliffe. I love Paula, a former world record holder over the marathon. And I remember watching on TV once when she was doing a track race and her husband, Gary Luff, her husband was screaming at her every single lap she went round this race. And then when she finished just outside of the medals, berating her in front of the world, the watching world. And it rightly grew some strong criticism, and Luff later apologised. But you'll be very glad to know that our coach is much kinder, much more gentle. He is the Apostle Paul. And notice his coaching style, if I can put it that way. It's there in chapter 4, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, you whom I love and I long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, or maintain your pace in the Lord in this way, if you like, dear friends. So it's very gentle, very encouraging today. Why? Because the Christian race is much harder than running a marathon. Take it from me, it is. It's much harder. And through Paul, God brings us four gentle but firm encouragements. And the first one is there in verses 15 and 16, to keep your eyes on your pace. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. Well, what's the mature view? It's that life is about knowing Jesus Christ and pursuing Jesus Christ. That's what life is about. So Paul has just said in verse 13, one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on. That is, I press on in knowing Christ until the day when I meet with Christ. When Jesus met with Paul on the Damascus Road, Paul realized that the scale of his merit, he's been putting in the gain column, his religious pedigree, his religious performance, and he realized that that gain column left him absolutely bankrupt before a holy God, that based upon his moral CV, he was utterly condemned. And so he did a rapid recalculation and took all of those things that he thought were gain and shifted them into the loss column and realized that the only thing that mattered, the thing of surpassing worth, was knowing Jesus Christ, from whom all of his righteousness came as a gift. He discovered the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. His life was reborn, reset, and restarted. And this, of course, is the typical Christian experience, that the controlling principle and passion of the Christian life is a pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ more and more. Paul wanted to know Christ deeper and deeper, more and more, until he crossed the finish tape and was with Christ. And Paul sees himself, and he sees the Philippians, and he sees us in the middle of the race. See, we know, says Paul, that we're not at the beginning of the race, and we know that we're not at the end of the race. We haven't arrived, but we're in the middle of the race. We're in the middle. And the great temptation when you're in the middle of the race is to look back and either congratulate yourself and give yourself a pat on the back because you've done so well or think you have, or it's to look back and to berate yourself for all of the stumbling and the falls that you've made along the way. Well, Paul says both are a mistake. Neither are helpful. Paul says, forget what is past. Strive and strain forwards to knowing Christ more and more in the future. That's what matters, and that's the mature view. Now, the second half of verse 15 is a little obscure. It's not the main thing, that's verse 16. The second half of verse 15 seems to be saying that when it comes to the details of how to run the Christian race, well, what you need to know, God will make that clear to you. I was speaking to dear Meg this week. Many of you will know her. And in our conversation, I asked her how long she had been a Christian. And she said, she won't mind me telling you, I'm 89 now, and I became a Christian when I was 13. 76 years. And what, I asked, is the main thing you have learned about running the Christian race in those 76 years? And we're all listening now, aren't we? Well, she said, I am astonished, still astonished. I shouldn't be now because I know that God knows the end from the beginning. But it's astonishing that God gives us what we need as we go along in the Christian race. He has it in place for us already. See, as we run the Christian race, we often face the unexpected. There's uncertainty and even confusion creeps in. But God makes clear to us what we need when we need it. And perhaps through this letter. So maybe if you're finding yourself nervous about the Christian race, it's good to remember that. And good to remember that verse that was quoted earlier on, that the one who began a good work in us, if he has begun a good work, will bring it to completion. But the main point of these verses is in verse 16. Only, says Paul, let us live up to what we have already attained. Let's keep the pace up. See, the start of the Christian life, it often feels easy, just like the first few miles of a marathon if you've trained. Those first few miles, you think whatever pace you set off at, you think, well, I can maintain this forever. It's a doddle. You're floating on air. And when you become a Christian, dealing with sin seems easy. Sharing your faith is a doddle. It seems to just sort of flow out of you. And reading your Bible, well, you just can't get enough of it. But then you hit 13.1 miles, halfway. And what felt like a doddle starts to feel anything but a doddle. And by 20 miles, you're flagging big time. And you realize there's still a long way to go. And that's when we really need to keep our eyes on the pace. And that's when the mental side of things comes into play. So how do we do it? Well, secondly, verse 17, by keeping your eyes on the pacemakers. The key to running the midsection of the race is finding a group to run with, finding pacemakers. Paul says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us, that is himself and Timothy and Epaphroditus, as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do, presumably people in the congregation. Now, Paul isn't on an ego trip here. He's not sort of bigging himself up, look at me, follow me, I'm great. But what he knows is that we need concrete examples of how to live the Christian life. We need those examples. We need people to show us what it means to pursue Christ. We need people to set the pace for us. Now, I'm very grateful for somebody who did that for me in my early teaching career. He took me alongside, he read the Bible with me, he showed me what it was like to live as a Christian, how to be a godly teacher, how to reach out to those around me. Very grateful for someone modelling that to me. I wonder if you've got anyone like that in your life, a model, someone who's just ahead of you, who sets the pace for you. If not, let me encourage you to ask. We'll try and find somebody who could meet with you and perform that role, because we all need models. Of course, we all need to be models as well. It's a challenging question to ask, but it's a good question to ask, that if I were to give you a new Christian and that new Christian were to follow you, what would their Christian life look like? God has given us pacemakers in the Christian life, people in the scripture, people in the church. He doesn't ask us to run solo. And in order to run well, we need to keep our eyes on the pace and the pacemakers. And thirdly, moving on to verses 18 and to 20, we need to keep our eyes on the prize. Why is it important to keep our eyes there on the prize? Well, because the race is hard and we need to know that it's worth it. In the Christian race, like the marathon, there are moments when every single stride, all you want to do is stop. And maybe that's right now for you. Every step is painful. Every step, all you want to do is just to slow down and stop. Slow down, and all of the pain evaporates, just like that. And there are many who might encourage us to do that, because as well as the good models, the pacemakers, if you like, there are the bad models, those who would trip us up, whether intentionally or not. And with tears streaming down his cheeks, Paul says, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Now we think enemies and we think people running at us with an axe or launching a verbal assault upon us. But these enemies are religious people, people who put their confidence in their own attainments, thus making themselves enemies of the cross of Christ. They are the false teachers mentioned earlier in chapter 3, trusting in their own religious works, trusting in their moral CVs. Those who put their confidence in religion rather than in knowing Christ. And the reason why their model is attractive is because their easy Christianity is just that, easy. Because real Christianity involves daily putting sin to death and daily pursuit of Jesus Christ. And that's painful, it's hard work. See, if all I've got to do is go to church from time to time and be baptized and sort of chip in a little bit, if I can reduce Christianity to a tick box system and I can tick the box, then by comparison with the Christian marathon, then it's a 5K, it's a doddle. These enemies of the cross, they boast in their shame. They take pride in their marks of religion, the fact they're circumcised when they should have realized that their righteousness is as filthy rags before God, when they should have been ashamed, and when they should have asked God to circumcise their hearts. Their God is their stomach because they put confidence in their religious observance, in their case, a kosher diet. And their destiny, destruction. Because they refuse to accept Christ's sacrifice on their behalf, they can't be saved. The only alternative left to them is destruction, eternal separation from God. And such is the destiny of all those outside Christ, whether or not they're outside the church. And the fact that there are so many like that should cause us to weep. See, with the discovery of a vaccine, which we're very grateful for, some are hailing science as the saviour. But of course, they will still die. They will still stand before the judgment throne of God. And they will do so without a saviour. The alternative to Christ is destruction. As Christian believers, we know this. But nonetheless, we feel the mid-race slowdown. So how do we maintain the pace? Answer, by keeping our eyes on the prize. Now, for a marathon runner, the prize is a medal and T-shirt, or a bragging rights, or money from the charity that you're running for the charity you're running for. But the prize for the Christian is being with Christ and being like Christ, knowing him more and more. You see, the Christian race is not a horizontal race where we fix our eyes on the earthly rules, but it's actually a vertical race when we fix our eyes on heaven, our heavenly home, for we are citizens of heaven. That's where we're heading. And we await the great prize, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the prize of prizes. Christian life is about knowing him more and more. A newlywed couple, well, they might be in love, but they're not in love in the same way that a 60-year-old married couple, who've been married for 60 years, rather, are in love. As they've grown together in their love, and their love has grown, it just sort of shines out of them. They know each other so well, and their love is so much more profound. And that is the experience of the Christian life that we should all desire, an ever-deepening knowledge and love of God our Saviour. He is the prize of prizes. And of course, it is nice to have a T-shirt and a medal too. What I want you to notice here is that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to us. We eagerly await a Saviour from there. What this means, Christian, is that the finishing line is coming closer and closer to you every day. If you want to slow down, then look up and see that Jesus Christ is running to you. There is a finish line, and as each day passes, it is coming closer and closer. On Marathon Day, you see people cross the line and punch the air, and the medal is put over their necks, and then they collapse in a heap. Now, when Christ's people cross the line and punch the air, they are going to be embraced by Jesus Christ himself. And instead of our lowly, decaying bodies subject to sin, habituated towards sin, well, those lowly bodies will in that moment be transformed. We will have a body that is like his glorious body. And don't doubt it, for the one who has power to bring all things under control, well, he can gather your atoms and stick them back together and then reunite them with your soul. That's no problem for him. And he can give you an indestructible body, a resurrection body like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is not a disembodied bliss, but an embodied bliss. Our hope is for heaven to come down to this earth and to be on this earth physically with each other and with our Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. That is our hope, living in bodies which have risen from the grave and indestructible. You meet a point in the marathon where you've come a long way, but you've got a long way to go, and you can't sense the end. You can't sense the end. And it's like that sometimes in the Christian life, but when weary in this earthly race, look up, and see his face. Eyes on the pace. Eyes on the pacemakers, most importantly, eyes on the prize, our Lord Jesus himself. And as we do, let's not forget our fellow runners, our partners, our gospel partners. Chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, keep your eyes on your partners. Now, this seems to be about a different subject, but one thing that threatens our running is conflict, a personal conflict within the church. And the solution begins with the right mindset. Running is usually an individual sport, though it's not entirely. You do see marathon runners passing drinks to one another and energy gels, and they say words of encouragement like, keep going, it's not far now, you're nearly there. And what we know and what we should know in the Christian life is that if we work together, then we run better. Now, at Philippi, there's a couple of women who are struggling to work together. They've fallen out. Their names are Euodia and Syntyche, or as I once heard them called, Euodius and So Touchy. Paul doesn't take sides or apportion blame. He pleads with both of them to be of the same mind in the Lord. Again, we see that the secret to running the Christian race well is found in the mind. These women are clearly church members and gospel workers. They've contended with Paul at his side for the cause of the gospel, along with other co-workers. And their names, says Paul, are written in the book of life. They are real Christians. I'm not altogether certain why Clement is mentioned. Perhaps he just needs some encouragement. Keep going, Clement. Your name is in the book of life. Perhaps you need that encouragement. We don't know what issue was causing these women to fight. It might have been a dispute on how to put on an event, who should speak, who should organise things. Who knows? What we see, though, is that conflict between those in Christ is only possible when we've lost the mind of Christ. Paul's point is that those who contend for the gospel should be able to reconcile their differences in the gospel. Those who will be reconciled in heaven should be reconciled now. Paul isn't calling for uniformity. He is calling for personal agendas to be put aside for the sake of gospel unity. I wonder how many conflicts might be resolved in Christian circles were we to all ask, is this particular issue that I'm getting hot under the collar about more important than our shared love for Jesus Christ? So next time you feel a rift developing with a Christian brother or sister, then ask, well, what's more important, my opinion or the fact that the Saviour died for us both? Christians must not contend with each other, but for each other. We need to look out for our running partners. And if we see a rift developing between brothers and sisters, we can't ignore it. We can't say, well, that's just not my problem, I'll leave it to them. Notice how Paul calls an unnamed companion to step in and help mediate. We have a responsibility for one another, and it is absolutely imperative that we help one another. I spent quite some time on the phone this week talking about a church ministry that has been badly affected. And why has that ministry been badly affected? Well, it's because a rift had broken up between one Christian and some other Christians, and somebody was asked to mediate and they refused to do it. And it's been painful to see the fallout of that. So as we run, let's keep our eyes on the pace, the pacemakers, the prize, and let's keep our eyes on one another, our fellow gospel partners. When I meet up with fellow running buddies, the question we often ask ourselves are, how's your running? How's your running? And I want to ask that question of you today. How's your running? How are you doing in the Christian race? Have you started the race? Perhaps you need to. But perhaps your eyes have been open to the difficulty of running the Christian race and you're hesitating. But think. Think about the alternative. Think of facing God without a saviour. That's the only alternative. If you are running from God, then turn around. He will never refuse you. The alternative is that you will be running and running and running forever. And if you say, I'm not sure how, well, once you come to Christ, he not only gives you pacemakers, but he gives you the energy of his Spirit. You see, God never asks us to do the impossible. As you run, you will discover God's energy enabling you to run. Start the race right now. But perhaps you have started, perhaps you're running hard. And to you I say, well, keep going. Keep going. Keep on looking out for your running partners along the way. There are many Clements who will need your encouragement. And maybe there's a Euodia and Syntyche who need your mediation. You're nearly home, and Jesus will transform your weary body so that it will be like his glorious body. So not far now. Keep going. Maybe, though, there was a time when you were running hard, but you sense yourself slowing down and you're weary now, and you just simply can't sense the finish line. Well, I hope today has encouraged you to make a mid-course adjustment and to pick up the pace. The race will be over sooner than you think. Jesus Christ is coming to meet you, and when he does, all of the weariness will vanish. All of those doubts will dissipate. All of the pain will be worth it. See, this life won't go on forever. One day you will soon cross the finish line, and our great prize, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be there to meet with us. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for calling us heavenwards in Christ Jesus. And help us to fix our eyes on those things which will help us to strain forward in knowing him. Thank you for the example of those amongst us who are running hard. Please encourage them. We pray for those who have not started in the race, that you would give them the courage they need. And for those of us who are weary, we pray for your strengthening, and until the day when we see the Saviour, our Lord Jesus. Amen.